Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Happy Tuesday to you. It's been 3 days, y'all. It's been 3 days. Oh, my goodness. Four count today since I last talked to y'all. What's happening out there? How you doing? I hope everybody had a great weekend. You did whatever you did on Labor Day, and it was fun, and you enjoyed your rest. You hung out with your family. That's all good, man. That's all good. I'm glad if that's what you did, or if you just relaxed and took time and just hung out, that's great too, you know. But this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and today, well, I'm not even going to say today, this week, man, I'm telling you, this week, we have a show for you. I'm telling you, this week, all our shows are going to be based on, are y'all ready for this one? On desegregation, or for the very intelligent ones, integration. Was it the right move? Oh, man. And each day we're going to concentrate on specific areas leading up to Friday, where we're going to go ahead and try and answer that final question. Was it the right move? So I hope y'all ready for a great show today. I want to say, give a shout out to Cloud Nation Radio, already in the chat room. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. And I hope you're ready also. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Whew. I'm telling you, man, the weekend was nice. You know, had the kids. You know, it was hot, though. It was hot. I mean, it was so hot. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it was so hot the devil was asking Jesus for some water. You know that ain't happening, right? All right, I should leave that alone. All right, I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist that. So how y'all doing out there? How y'all doing? Hey, you know what? We got some good stuff for you today, man. This week, we're going to be about educating as well as, you know, having conversation and discussions and debates on, you know, the things that led up to the so-called integration of, you know, the integration of minorities, put it that way, or the blacks into mainstream society. And, you know, we're going to talk about all these type of things all week long. You know, we're going to play some clips every now and then, and we're going to have a lot going on. So, you know, I want you to sit back, relax, go ahead, you know, and get whatever you're drinking or having fun with, because we're going to be doing the thing this week. I'm telling you, I'm hyped about it. I want you to be hyped about it, and we're going to discuss some things, all right? So I know somebody's going to kind of be upset here and there. I do apologize for that because, you know, hey, you know, everybody's, some people more sensitive than others, okay? But sometimes these type of shows are needed so we understand where we came from, where we are now, and where we need to go. You know, we're always talking about what's happening now, what's happening now. But sometimes, you know, you do need to actually go back a little bit to see where you are right now, every day, to see where you're going later, where you're headed to later. I know some of y'all are like, what the heck? But once you think about it, you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. Now, you want to join in the conversation today? There's many ways you can join us. Give us a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Also, join me in my chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62. Or you can join me in the chat room there, or you just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and put in the search box and put in Mr. Talk, all one word, and it'll bring you right to the chat room. That's right, Clown Nation. We're going to talk about Black Wall Street Tulsa. But I got a little more story to go with that, too. And also, if you want to leave a comment on the Facebook page, whatever, just EricLetsTalk@Facebook.com. All right? I think I got it all now. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com? Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. I got so much going on, man. I just be confusing myself sometimes. All right. I see we got guests coming in the chat room. Indiana, I see you. Yeah. Let me see if you're going to hide this week. I'm saying guest 1803. Welcome to the show. All right, y'all. I think we done got all that out right now. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and you know, go ahead and get the house rules out the way, because this week the house rules really are going to be important. Okay, they really are. As I said before, all week long we're going to be talking about. Oh, Lord have mercy. Look, we're going to be talking about desegregation. Was it the right move? And we're going to be breaking it down in sections. So, you know, if hey, I'm telling you. So if. Going to be a little educational, a little discussional, a little conversational. You know, we're going to have it all. But all in all, we're going to have a great, great, great show today and this week. I just feel it. Now, of course, we encourage all open dialogue. And we'd like to hear. And we'd like to hear everyone's opinion. Please respect everyone's time to speak. In other words, do not talk over each other. Please make your comments or responses as short and to the point as possible. No personal attacks are allowed. We are adults, so please conduct yourselves in that manner. Okay? If anyone violates these house rules, you know, I would not hesitate to mute you, slap you upside the head, put a couple of rounds in you, tase you, whatever is going to shut you up for a hot minute. And then who knows? I may put you in the green room. Then you can keep talking. Oh, man, I tell you. Eva, Indiana, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not bothering you. Ah, you want to come on here? Come on. I'm not in there. Look, I'm not coming in to hurt nobody. Like I said, we're going to have fun this week. It's going to be serious, but we're going to have fun. All right. So those were the house rules, and it's all good. It's all good. All right. So. Let's get to the quote of the day and the song of the day, because I have some other things I want to go on and we're going to go on and hop into it. You know, we're not talking about Syria today, and we're not talking about Biden, any of those folks. Yes, I had a great weekend. I did. Oh, but so let's go on to get into what we're going to get into here. Now, quote of the day is a very important quote, and you know, I've just had to use it, okay? And here's the quote. Segregation was wrong when white people forced it, and I believe it is still wrong when black people request it. And that was said by Coretta Scott King. Now, if you notice, in this quote, she says it was wrong when white people forced it, right? But she says she believes it's even more wrong when black people request it. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, this week, all together. It was segregation. You know, desegregation. You know, two kind of go together there. You know, was it the right move for the black community to go along with desegregation? That's what we're going to talk about. And that's why I chose that quote. You know, yeah. So, you know, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and play the song of the day. And y'all know what? That is a very, y'all think about that while this song is playing. Segregation was wrong. White people forced it. And I believe it's still wrong when black people request it. Now, you know what? Whatever, man. Anyway, but here's the question. Did white people really force segregation? Did they really? Or did we just break off like that? And as we became so-called educated, we began to want to be a part of the mainstream. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all that right now because, like I say, we got a whole show to do, and we're going to cover that in today's show. For sure we are. All right. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get the song day out of the way. And I hope y'all ready for it. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Some of y'all going to tell your age on this one. But anyway, here's the song of the day. Wasted.
All right, y'all. That was the Isley Brothers with Fight the Power.
Boy, that was an old anthem back there, man. Oh, man. You know, I was thinking about that song when I was growing up. Man, it was a catchy dance song. You know, I really didn't understand what it was really about until what? I got older and paid attention. Anyway, so that was a great song there, Fight the Power. And you know what? That was the theme a long time ago when I was growing up. In some cases, it's still there today, that way today. Fight the powers that be, because something is wrong. But anyway, welcome to the show, Knowledge. I see you out there. Joe, I don't know what's wrong with you. You like, you done had too much to drink today. You know, I have to take days off so I can I take days off so I can spend time with my child. You know, I do have a child, and I will spend some time with my child. Thank you, Joseph. Pretty soon he's going to become the only the fourth best host on BTR. Whatever, Joe. Whatever. Whatever. Anyway, all right, y'all. So let's talk about some things today. Today's this week. We're going to talk about this week, man. We're going to be talking about what's up, Benny? That's right. Kids need good mentoring. You're right. And that's why I spend as much time with mine as I can. He's 10 in that impressionable stage, and I make sure he's getting the right impression put on him. That's right. Being shown to him. That's right. And that's what we should all, as men, strive to do with children. You know, mentor them. Show them the right way. Don't let the boob tube and jokers on the corner mentor your children, because it's leading nothing but trouble down the line. But anyway, Joe. All right. Joe trying to get us off. As I was saying before, this week we're going to be talking about desegregation or integration for those that's the real smart ones, and was it the right choice? And as I said, today, which is Tuesday, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and we're going to cover different sections of it, all right? You know what I mean? We're going to cover different sections of what I want to talk about. And Friday, we're going to go all in, man. We're going to go on and see if we can get a group decision on, was it the best move for us as black folk? Okay? Even though we do have people like Joe in the chat room just trying to start some stuff. I don't know how I'm the third best. I'm the number one joker now. I'm telling you, I'm the best, Joe. That's right. That's right. I'm going to say it. All right. Anyway, so let's talk about this thing. Now, you know, there were, you know, a lot of times we get in discussions here, and a lot of people bring up things like Black Wall Street, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, or as it was called, Little Africa, the Magic City, or City of Dreams. Yeah, you know, that what Tulsa, Oklahoma was called. And depends on who you was talking to, you know, a lot of people dubbed it the oil capital of the world. Mm-hmm, that's right. But did y'all realize that there was another Black Wall Street also? That's right, there was another one. And that Black Wall Street was in Durham, North Carolina. But a lot of people don't mention that because it was more a banking center than anything else. Compared to Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was oil. And that was the main thing, oil. Then you had the separation, you know, one block, one big section of the city belonged to the blacks, and then you had the ones belonged to the other side of the town belonged to the white. But here's the thing. The blacks were living a little bit better than the whites because they were all together. But you know what? I just gave you a little synopsis on this. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why I can't say that word today. But I'm going to play y'all a couple of clips here that would explain it a little bit better. And then when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, and we're going to talk about this thing for real, okay? So, and no, I'm not going to let y'all get me off track today. So anyway, Without further ado, here's the first clip on Black Wall Street.
The date was June 1st, 1921, when Black Wall Street, the name fittingly given to one of the most affluent all-black communities in America, was bombed from the air and burned to the ground by mobs of envious whites. In a period spanning fewer than 12 hours, a once thriving 36-block black business district in northern Tulsa lay smoldering, a model community destroyed and a major African-American economic movement resoundingly diffused. The night's carnage left some 3,000 African-Americans dead and over 600 successful businesses lost. Amongst these were 21 churches, 21 restaurants, 30 grocery stores, and 2 movie theaters, plus a hospital, a bank, a post office, libraries, schools, law offices, and a half dozen private airplanes, and even a bus system. As could be expected, the impetus behind it all was the infamous Ku Klux Klan working in consort with ranking city officials and many other sympathizers. The description of Black Wall Street, or Little Africa as it was also known, would be to liken it to a mini Beverly Hills. It was the golden door of the black community during the early 1900s, and it proved that African Americans had successful business infrastructure. That's what Black Wall Street was all about. The dollar circulated 36 to 1,000 times, sometimes taking an entire year for the currency to leave the community. Now, in 2009, a dollar leaves the black community in less than 6 hours. As far as resources, there were PhDs residing in Little Africa, black attorneys and doctors. One doctor was Dr. Berry, who also owned the bus system. His average income was $500 a day, a hefty pocket of change in 1910. During that era, physicians owned medical schools. There were also pawn shops everywhere, jewelry stores, churches, restaurants, and movie theaters. It was a time when the entire state of Oklahoma had only 2 airports, yet 6 blacks owned their own airplanes. It was a very fascinating community. The area encompassed over 600 businesses in a 36-square-block area with a population of 15,000 African Americans. And when the lower economic Europeans looked over and saw what the black community created, many of them were jealous. When the average student went to school on Black Wall Street, he wore a suit and tie because of the morals and respect that they were taught at a young age. The mainstay of the community was to educate every child. Nepotism was a word they passionately believed in. The main thoroughfare was Greenwood Avenue, and it was intersected by Archer and Pine Streets. From the first letters of each of these names, you get GAP, and that's where the renowned R&B music group, the Gap Band, got its name. They were from Tulsa. Black Wall Street was a prime example of the typical black community in America that did business. But it was in an unusual location. You see, at that time, Oklahoma was set aside to be a black and Indian state. There were over 28 black townships there. One-third of the people who traveled in the terrifying Trail of Tears alongside the Indians between 1830 to 1842 were black people. The citizens of this proposed Indian and black state chose a black governor, a treasurer from Kansas named McDade. But the Ku Klux Klan said that if he assumed office, that they would kill him in less than 48 hours. A lot of blacks owned farmland, and many of them had gone into the oil business. The community was so tight and wealthy because they traded dollars hand to hand, and because they were dependent upon one another as a result of the Jim Crow laws. It was not unusual that if a resident's home accidentally burned down, it could be rebuilt within a few weeks by neighbors. This was the type of scenario that was going on day to day on Black Wall Street. When blacks intermarried into the Indian culture, some of them did receive their promised 40 acres and a mule. And with that came whatever oil was later found on the properties. On Black Wall Street, a lot of global business was conducted. The community flourished from the early 1900s until June 1st, 1921. That's when the largest massacre of non-military Americans in the history of this country took place, and it was led by the Ku Klux Klan. Imagine walking out of your front door and seeing 1,500 homes being burned. It must have been horrifying. Interviewed survivors believe that the whole thing was planned due to the fact that white families with their children stood around on the borders of the community and watched the massacre, the looting, everything, much in the same way they would watch a lynching. The spectator activity is where the word picnic is derived from. You see, it was typical to have community gatherings on Friday evenings in Oklahoma. The word was short for pick a nigger, to lynch, that is. They would lynch a black male and cut off body parts as souvenirs. This went on every weekend in this country. That's where the term really came from. The cause of the massacre was simply racial economic jealousy. A lot of white folks had come back from World War I, and they were poor. When they looked over into the black communities and realized that black men who fought in the war had come home as heroes, and helped trigger the destruction. It cost the black community everything, and not a single dime of restitution, no insurance claims, has ever been awarded to the victims to this day. It is estimated that 3,000 black people were killed. Many of them were buried in mass graves all around the city. Some were thrown into the river. As a matter of fact, at 21st Street and Yale Avenue, where there now stands a Sears parking lot, that corner used to be a coal mine where many of the bodies were thrown into the shafts. Many black Americans don't know about this story because we don't apply the word Holocaust to our struggle. Jewish people use the word Holocaust all the time. White people use the word Holocaust. It's politically correct to use the word Holocaust. But when we black folks use the word, people think that we're being crybabies or that we're trying to bring up old issues. No one comes to our support. In 1910, our forefathers and mothers owned 13 million acres of land at the height of racism in this country. Our mandate now is to teach our children about our own ongoing black Holocaust. We can rebuild Black Wall Street, but it won't be easy. Due to the psychological conditioning of black people ever since our ancestors arrived in America, today it is estimated that black income is $1 trillion. It's also estimated that this $1 trillion stay within the African-American community just about 6 hours, while other cultures within America spend their money multiple times within their own culture before it leaves their community. Black people's money changed hands to another black-owned enterprise less than one time. We have been conditioned to believe that black business is whack business, unless it's a beauty salon, barbershop, hip-hop, or liquor store. More black money changes hands to drug dealers and bootleggers of audio CDs and movie CDs and brand-name handbags than they do to legitimately owned businesses. The black community is dying. We have gotten caught up in the illusion of the American dream that instructs us to trust in corporate America for our children's future and to forget about all that nonsense of business ownership, entrepreneurism, and black cultural identity. We have accepted this conditioning of the mind to the point where we consider anything that unifies us for the purpose of empowerment we deem counterproductive to race assimilation. We have become more concerned with being accepted by other cultures more important than our own economic empowerment. Assimilation has become the new minstrel show face. Today we sing, dance, shuck and jive in business suits while simultaneously disconnecting from all cultural connection for community race empowerment unless it is ordained by white masters. To be a black entrepreneur in membership with a black economic conscious think tank would be considered racist in view to numerous black business people. We have adopted a self-absorbed, disconnected mentality where many blacks that graduate from historically black universities has never heard of the Willie Lynch letter while they shuck, jive, and step in the Greek fraternities. It would appear that even black institutions of higher learning have abandoned cultural empowerment for government funding. To educate one in mind, but not in cultural history and cultural responsibility, is to educate a disconnected people on a social economic decline collectively. It's time to stand up and be accountable to our ancestors' sacrifices, to our children. It's up to us to give them back their history, their culture, and their unity. And it's up to us to rebuild Black Economic Wall Street. We must reconnect with our history. We must reconnect with our culture of unity. We must rebuild our culture of trust in our businesses and services. And we must reconnect with our collective creativity. We must also continue to educate in entrepreneurism and to teach business building strategy in a modern day environment using the latest cutting edge business tools and resources. If we do not do this thing now, our children will be a permanent economic and political underclass in this society forever. It's time to reconnect and get busy. This is how we rebuild Black Wall Street on a global scale. Thank you very, very much. I'm Derrick Henry, Black Business and Community Advocate.
Well, Durham was a place where blacks were successful down through the years. It just happened that there were some people who got together and started some businesses, and with the success that they had here, people came from everywhere just to see what was happening in Durham. W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington came to Durham and saw what was happening here and called it a mecca of black business. And the Black Wall Street name came from these efforts. And we had guides at the North Carolina Mutual, tour guides at the Mechanics and Farmers Bank, at North Carolina Central University, and other places around town just to show what was happening here that was different from what was happening in other communities. The business leadership was very important. It made a tremendous contribution. And I can remember when I was looking for work and right out of college, there was a limited number of jobs that blacks could get other than waiters, elevator operators, maintenance people, and cooks. And when we came to Durham, we found that there were blacks sitting at typewriters, handling money, operating businesses, and doing many trade jobs that were not common in most communities. And this made a big impact upon the black community that caused us to become famous here in Durham, and one of the things that made us want to come to Durham to see what was happening and how it was happening and how we could carry it back to other communities and do the same thing.
All right, y'all. Hey, welcome back to the show. I was busy putting some links in the chat room. Hey, those was two clips I just played on Black Wall Street, the one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the one in Durham, North Carolina. See, most people just remember to talk about that one, but there was another one. There really was. Y'all didn't know that, did you? And the last one was actually a survivor, a guy who was actually alive during that time in Durham, North Carolina. So, yes, there were two. You know, and of course, both W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington actually gave these towns their nickname, a lot of them, you know, the majority of them, when they went through. So that's how Black Wall Street came about, the names of Black Wall Street. But we're going to talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma a little bit, because it was very interesting. Was this was a city where you had a booming black community. You know what I mean? You just, that's what you had. You had a booming black community there where everyone was self-sufficient. You know, you had trade going on. You had businesses working with each other. I mean, think about it, man. Think about it. What was it? Money moved 36 to 100 times within the black community before it left. Can you imagine? And we talk about economic power. You know what I mean? Wow. To the point to where we had European nations wanting to trade with these individuals in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah, a lot of people say, well, it was because of the oil. Yeah, well, maybe it was because of the oil. But the fact was, we had the resources then. We were a functioning community then. Everybody worked with everybody. Even the night of the riot, black folk were still trying to defend each other and work together. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's something you're not going to hear about. You know, the night of the riot, the Tulsa riot, and the Tulsa riot started because there was a young man who was a shoe shine. He shined shoes, and he went to use the bathroom. And He got on the elevator because the bathroom was located at the top of a building. And, you know, he made this trip every day around the same time. Well, nobody really knows what happened once he got in the elevator. But the elevator operator was a young white girl. Okay. And when the elevator's doors opened, she claimed he had raped her and attacked her. Now, no, granted, there was no torn clothes, or she wasn't scratched or anything like that. Of course, that was said, but none of that was later proven to be true. So they put the guy, they put the black guy in the jail. Well, Lord have mercy. Well, then what happened was, you know, of course, the newspaper during that time ran an article that said, now Negro in now Negro for rape. And then that just smothered. And then next thing you know, by the end of the day, the building was surrounded by white folk. Now, let's get them. You had 3,000, okay, Klansmen in this one place. All right. Some accounts say to the point where when they came out and stood out, you know, it's like it just looked like there was thousands and thousands of them. You know, they filled from one corner to the next. Nothing but Klansmen. So now everybody is getting, you know, getting upset. So the black community, now listen, this is how strong these black men were back then. The black community got together, got their weapons, and went to the police station where the black guy was held and offered their help to help protect this young black man. Now, y'all hearing what I'm saying? They went and offered their help, not once, but twice. And was turned away both times. However, on the second time, one of the guys was confronted by one of the white guys, the white agitators. And he asked him, boy, what you going to be doing? What you doing with that gun? And the black guy told him, I'm going to use it if I have to. And the white guy said, no, you're not. And then next thing you know, all heck broke out. Now, during this time, the police was supposed to be there to help protect, the black, protect, period. Well, what eventually happened was, instead of the police trying to call the riot, they ended up helping the rioters by arresting and holding black individuals at gunpoint. And I'm telling this story because, as you notice, once again, envy and jealousy, you know, envy and jealousy is a bad thing. You know, now you have this black community and everything was going fine. But yet, it just took one little lie, one little thing, and next thing you know, they want to destroy the black community. Now, this everybody is concentrating on Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. But this was something that was going on all across the nation at that time. There was plenty of black communities that were thriving. Well, blacks were together. They weren't integrated then. You know, they had their communities, had their businesses, and everything was fine. But as somebody mentioned in the chat room, you know, instances, you know, like Rosewood, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a couple other places. That 1919 was considered, what they called it? Blood rally, because there was more riots in 1919 than there had ever been in the country before. Yeah. Now, what they'll tell you is, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, it fell that night because of race riots. Well, what they're not going to tell you is all the race riot was really the white individuals going over to the black side of town to torch it and tear it up. But of course, like I said, nobody's going to tell you that. You know what I mean? Oh, and let's think about this. You know, think about what the money back then we was making. Think about the money. And today, I mean, right now it's estimated that black pound buying power will reach $1.1 trillion by 2015. 2015, y'all. But it won't stay in our neighborhood for what? 6 hours? And that's being probably gracious, very gracious on that. You know, changes hands. It said one time in 2009, right now, I say it changed. And the Bible won't even change a hand. You know, so if we go back and look at the great communities back in 1920s, 1900, 1920s, and if we really take a lesson from them, my question is this: why can't we do this today? But then again, I forgot we became integrated. We became integrated. Now, you know, Joe, and Joe's my good friend. You know, I like Joe. We all like Joe. Because Joe will have some good points. He really does. But, oh, Lord. You know, it is interesting that, you know, out of a population of 100,000 people during this heyday, and we still talking about black Tulsa, you know, black Wall Street, the population had reached up to 100,000 people. That's a whole lot of people in one spot. Can you imagine the economic strength that was going on there? You know how much money was turning around over and over and over? Over and over to the point that where overseas wanted to trade and do business with them. You know, you're talking about a black community had a chamber of commerce, opera house, petroleum club, you know, bus companies, cab companies, and they were all owned by black folk. Even you heard in the clip, they only had two airports and six blacks owned, there was owned six airplanes or those two airports. You know, $500 a day. Wow. And that was a whole lot of money back then. You got to admit, that was a whole lot of money back then. So, here's my thing. Here's my thing. If examples have been set for us as to how to do it, now y'all stay with me. If we can look back and say this is how it was done, and it was a successful model. See, and that's the thing. It was a successful model. So what happened? Why didn't we follow through with it? Why didn't we continue this? I'm going to tell you why we didn't do it. Because somewhere along the line, and you know what? I'm sorry, I thought I said it, but I'll go ahead and say it again. The phone lines are open, so if y'all want to comment on something I said or something you heard or add to the conversation, no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join me in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/EricJackson62. All right, so y'all want to add a little bit to it? Come on, let's talk about this thing. You know, like I said, this whole week, we're going to be talking about desegregation. Was it the right move? Now, today we're going to concentrate on Black Wall Street, the model that was set by these cities, and assimilation. Assimilation. Why was it that we had to be absorbed into the main culture? So those are two things we're really talking about right as of right now today. Okay, all week we're going to be talking about this subject in different parts of it. But these are the two main things I want to talk about right now. Okay, so I see somebody already has a hand up. So let me bring them in and let's get to talking. All right, 718, welcome to the show. How you doing today?
Hey, how's it going? It's Brother Derek X from New York City. How's it going,
What's
man?
What's going on? All right, Derek X, how you doing, man? Welcome
all right,
to the show.
Man, all right, thank you, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Man, I'm doing great, you know?
Right.
You know, yeah, so I just wanted to talk about this whole black economy thing.
Okay.
I was actually taking up sociology in school, in college, and this led me on to, you know, because sociology deals with, you know, just about every part of society from economics to, you know, all type cultures, everything.
Right, right.
You know, politics, everything. Basically anything that happens within the society, you know. And this led me off to the whole economy thing, especially the black economy thing. And I really started to study how come is it that, you know, everyone else have their own economy. You have the Asians with their own economy. You have the Hispanics. In every neighborhood that you go to, especially here in New York City, because it's you know, we have a very diverse population. In
right.
every neighborhood you go to, you see you go to a Puerto Rican neighborhood, a Dominican neighborhood, everything is owned by their people. You go to Chinatown. This is why you call it Chinatown. You call it Spanish Harlem. You call it Bensonhurst. That's where the Italians are. And, you know, you got your Irish town. Everyone has their town. But then when you come to the black community, we own nothing.
We own nothing.
Here in New York, we don't even own our corner stores. We own nothing. But everybody else own whatever there is over there in their community, they own it.
That's right.
You know, and we own nothing. So I think part of the reason why we don't own anything is because I think that we're very selfish, us black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we may get a job, you know, working with transit or whoever we may be working with. And a brother might ask you, like, hey, man, how you get on with that job or whatever like that? And, hey, man, I don't know. I just got the job. We don't never want to pull nobody up. We want to be the only one that's shining. So
right.
we can't put our money together and start up nothing if we're the only one that's shining.
You're right.
You
and
know?
See, and that's what I'm talking about right there. It's not like we haven't had the examples shown to us of how to do it. You know,
yeah.
somewhere along the line, you know, we've fallen off. And maybe it's because
yeah.
everybody wants to assimilate or join the main group. But before we go any further, let me bring two other callers in, okay? So
all
we
right. all
get
right.
them on the air. All right, 111, welcome to the show.
Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Doing fine, Joe. 661, you're on the air. Yes, Joe, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Good. I'm
doing
good.
Wonderful.
I'm glad. Had a good weekend. That's good.
I had a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
That's good. Are you going to be coming in tomorrow or are you going to be taking the day off?
Whatever, Joe. You want to answer the conversation? Because you know I'm not paying you no attention right now, okay? We talking about something. Okay. Lord.
I don't have anything to add yet.
No, okay. 661, welcome to the show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
No, that's still 718. That's still 718.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
still me.
Okay. Last 4-0-2-4-0. You there? Okay. I guess they come in when they come in. But yes, Derek, you know, that is a great point. But a lot of times we have, we going into this thing of assimilation. You know what I mean? Everybody want to talk about assimilation, and that was something big also. You know, and the word assimilate means to absorb groups of different cultures into the main cultural body. Now,
yes.
and what a lot of people don't understand is not assimilation is not an event. It's a process that happens. You know, so now what happens is when we can go all the way back to Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, from that point on, the assimilation had begun because they had already started to destroy the building blocks that our forefathers and ancestors had started by having their own businesses. So they destroy that and say, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to pacify you and give you this if you come and join us. And that's eventually what, that's basically what happened. You know, it got us to believing that we're going to chase the American dream. You know?
Yes, exactly.
that was never meant for us.
Which that's all an illusion. I believe not the American dream, that's an illusion. There is no American dream. What is the American dream? I never understood that. I never understood that right there. But maybe, you know, that's just me. That's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm a 24-year-old young man and whatnot, I have a little job and everything, able to sustain my own apartment and, you know, things of that nature. But at the end of the day, what is the American dream? Nobody's really living the American dream right now. I mean, if that's what you want to call it. Well, I know guys with great jobs that's getting $100,000 a year and just making it because they have so much stuff to pay. You know, they have everything is so expensive. Excuse me?
Well, I was going to say, is that really because they're not making enough or they're trying to live that dream?
Yeah,
or
what they need.
Yeah, my point, trying to be with the Joneses.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Joe. Hold on, let me bring Pianki in. Okay, Pianki, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, you remember this song?
Yes, Pianki. I remember this
song. Remember that?
Yeah.
Huh?
That was about the bombing of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Where the sheriff had a guy get in a small plane and fly over the black part of town.
Yeah, you get the prize, Eric.
And drop.
We will mail you your prize. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's the first city ever bombed from the air. Yeah, that's what that was about. And the name Gap Band, you know, was the name of the street.
Greenwood
that all the business,
at Pine.
Yeah, this intersection where all the black businesses were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm really proud of you. But you know, one of the reasons why I come that blacks adopted things that caused them to act that way. For instance, like religion. Their religion teaches them individualism. It doesn't teach them the things that you see other ethnic groups come here and be successful at. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Well, to say that the American dream doesn't work. I mean, you look at other ethnic groups. But let's look at other black groups that come here, Nigerians, Somalians, and so on and so on and so on. They do quite well when it comes
Why
to extracting.
Here's my point. Why do they do quite well? I'm going to tell you, because they come and they get together and work together.
Well, that's what I was trying to prove the point. You know, we're taught individualism all the time.
Are we really taught individualism, or have we been just programmed to think that's what it is? I don't think
we've been taught individualism. I mean, it's taught in your schools. It's taught in your religion. Your religion is that you live good because you're going to stand for judgment for your own self, and so on, so on, so on. And it's being played out. It's not just that, but that plays a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to tell the story because it's it's about a minute long. But I was working with a young lady from Nigeria, and to get the story short, we was out someplace where she was taking care of some tax matters. She met some other Nigerian, another couple, and they discussed things. And she went over and talked to them after they got through, and she was walking away from them. They said, "Oh, by the way, make us proud." She wasn't related to them biologically, but they told her to make us proud. So there's a difference there.
A difference.
Yeah. Like me and Joe, we come on your show so your show can be successful. We're not thinking about our individual self. It's right. Selfishness.
You want Eric to be successful. Oh, that you want to be the third best.
I appreciate that. Sapphire said, "I don't agree that black people are taught individualism. I think people in general are just plain selfish." And I do kind of believe that.
And the brother from New York, he could also make reference to the Koreans there in Flushing. Look how much they control the Asians, that is.
Oh, yeah, man. They're all over the place.
How many banks do they control in like an 8-block area?
I don't know. I'm not really too keen on Flushing, but I know that they're down there. They have everything. They have their own little Chinese words and everything. I'm like, wow.
They doing so well that it made Hilton build a hotel surrounded based on their culture. I think they have 8 banks in like a 2-block area or something like that. 200 restaurants.
Look, here's the thing that I'm saying, though. We had black cities, black communities, solid, doing the same thing that these people, that the Koreans, the Africans that are coming over from Nigeria, all the people are doing now. We had communities like that. Why?
Well, you're right about the integration.
Why haven't anybody tried to assimilate them, get them to join in the main culture? They still have their individualism. They still go by their culture, but nobody's
Blacks
trying to
rebuilt
get them,
Tulsa
of course,
now. They rebuilt Greenwood. They rebuilt Greenwood, but what happened is that when time came in the 50s to run the interstate highways under the Eisenhower administration, they didn't have any exit ramps off to the city, off to their areas.
Okay, but you're missing my point, Yankee. I understand what you're saying, but still, what happened to the culture? Where was our culture? You know, why do we have to give up our culture to become a part of the main melting pot or salad bowl, as they call the United States now, to be a part of this? Why can't we
fit in, right? Yeah.
Why are we assimilating, or as Joe like to say, assimilation? You know, why are we trying to be enforced to become part of the big bowl and leave our identity somewhere else?
That's part of the problem.
No, that's not part of assimilation. Assimilation, what I'm talking about assimilation is for people, especially immigrants, that they become part of the American culture. They speak English, they know the laws, they know the mores, they accept the traditions, but they don't have to leave behind
the culture
of where they came from.
Joe, here it is. Assimilation means to absorb groups of different cultures into the main cultural body. Understand that assimilation is not an event, it is a process. Okay? That means in a lot of cases, in a lot of situations, you don't want that other cultures to bring their traditions with you. You want them to be a part of the main.
That's what I've been saying.
But Joe,
that's basically they're using their culture as a subculture.
Right. Why?
Yeah, that's
why,
right.
Joe?
Subculture. The blacks didn't do that, though, now, Eric.
Well, no, but the majority of them did, and that's why we're where we are now.
My grandson went to a black school where they didn't even celebrate holiday. They went to school on Thanksgiving. They was off on Christmas because it was the beginning of Kwanzaa. But all of them don't do that. But
let me ask you this question, and this is how crazy it got. And knowledge has a good point, because when you are cut off from your past, it creates a psychotic break. And that's a good point, Knowledge. That is a very good point. Now, but here's this. Where did Kwanzaa come from?
Kwanzaa is an extension of a celebration called First Fruits that come off of the African continent. It happens 2 times at least in some societies because they have 2 harvest periods. And it's a period of celebration when the harvest come in, First Fruits.
Hmm. That's where it came from?
Yes. Not only in Africa, many societies celebrate first fruits. It's even talked about in your Bible.
Mm. So how did it get here? How did it become get here in the United States all of a sudden? Then nobody else
heard
about it.
Because organizations that revived it and shaped it in its present form to commemorate that.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you can show me in the Bible where it says that.
Yeah, I can show them about where they talk about first fruits.
Okay. No, I'm talking about Kwanzaa.
Not Kwanzaa, no.
Oh,
first
okay.
fruits. I told you it's a celebration of first fruits.
Oh, okay. So it's a derivative from first fruits, okay? All right.
Yes.
Somebody brought it to the United States and changed it in other words, to make it fit what
they
wanted.
Well, they didn't bring it to
the
United States. They started it up.
Oh, okay. They started it up.
Called United Slaves.
Uh-huh.
Led by Maulana Karenga at the time.
Okay, and here's another thing. Y'all remember back in the day, I don't know, I think Knowledge may know about this. Remember back in the day in Oakland when they started this Ebonics thing, and there was a big uproar about, You know, we shouldn't be talking no Ebonics. We should be learning to speak regular English. You know what I mean?
So what's wrong with that?
So what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though, you know, that's like back in the day, pig Latin.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, you know, that was just something that another part of our culture.
Oh, come
or traditions
on.
That
no,
he's right, Joe. Black children have a right to come up with their own dialect if they want to. Other ethnic groups.
That's right.
If you again, you don't have to leave behind your Ebonics. Made us think because blacks were speaking nothing but Ebonics and couldn't speak English, standard English well. Let's not get it twisted. Okay, let's glorify certain.
They spoke the language of their surroundings, of their environment. Children do it all the time.
Not
well,
Ebonics.
Not
when you, not when they done did it. It, and I'll be there. You know, whatever misplaced grammar was there.
Well, you go down to New Orleans, they teach. You go down to New Orleans, they speak a dialect down there also.
Yeah, they speak Creole, but they also speak standard English.
It's up to the schools to teach them how to speak standard English. But for a child to come to school and speak in the language of their family, there's nothing wrong with that.
As long as they speak standard English. The thing about Ebonics, though, there are a lot of people speaking Spanish, a lot of people speaking Polish within their own communities. At the same time, when they go out in outside of their communities, they can't insist that America or whatever country they're in has to speak that community's language.
Well, you know, to be truthful with you, American.
It is like that. It's like that now, Joe. Some places, you know, they have a Spanish interpreter.
That's wrong.
Because some people do not speak English.
That's their problem.
But listen, Joe. Now, if you go and look in the European countries, they speak two or three languages. Understand what I'm saying?
And English is the major language of the world.
Why? Why is that?
Because England conquered 90% of the planet at one time.
Oh, but yet
English, American English is not really, shouldn't even be called American language. If anything, it should be called French Latin, because the majority of the words within the American diatribe is derived from French and Latin, not Queen's English. And Eric, that is Leviticus 23:9, first fruits.
Okay. I'll look that up. But Joe, that is, you know, that is a part of the assimilation, as we're saying. Because you want to, the dominant culture, I guess you say, wants to absorb all that to make theirs the main one. Now, you make yours the subculture, but eventually over time, if you keep going and going and going, that subculture is going to disappear. Now you got a whole bunch of people right there doing the same thing in the major culture, and the subordinate culture is gone, and the traditions are gone.
Well, you don't have to have it like that. Just pass down the traditions from family to family.
But that is the way it is conditioned and the way it is supposed to happen here in the United States, Joe.
No, what's happening here in the United States is that this so-called melting pot is becoming a too diverse a culture where the cultures are not blending together to be Americans.
They don't have to blend together, Joe.
Now,
here you go. See, you're a white man. Yeah. You're trying to tell me who I'm black representative of African people on how I need to change. This is the same thing that happened at the Niagara Conference in 1875 that was convened by former President Rutherford Hayes and attended to by Brazilians on the issue of the Negro problem and what to do with it. Americans chose to handle their Negro problem through Jim Crow and segregation. Brazil chose to handle its Negro problem through amalgamation. In other words, they wanted the black Negro to disappear into the rest of society. We are not going to do that.
That's right. Hold on. I want to bring two other people into the conversation.
And look what's happening to America today. If you have any country that is not homogenized with the people thinking of themselves as the citizens of that country, what you have are miniature countries within one country, which means divide and conquer. Yeah.
Well, they happen to create that, too, when they bring about same-sex marriage. I don't want to be involved with nothing like that. I don't want my kids involved in nothing like that.
And you don't have to be.
Well, you say we need to become all Americans.
We have this.
See, what everybody's talking about with the natural conclusion, you have North Korea and South Korea. That's what you've got.
Yeah, but they didn't do that on their own.
That's right.
Yeah, we did that.
No, the Americans weren't
Stop, don't blame everything on America. Sometimes these countries fight, just like Americans, we fought a civil war. Those countries fight within those countries, and we get America in the business. Now, should we go? That's a whole other subject. But Joe was about the English guy.
How was that our business going over there to North Korea? Oh, yeah, we was going to stop communism. I forgot. Oh, yeah, how is it our business to go over there to Syria? And how is that our business to go over there to Vietnam? It's not our business.
It wasn't our business.
Okay. Right about that.
I just want to make a couple points, Joe. First of all, Joe's right about the language. When us Africans came over here, we supposed to be bilingual. I agree with that. They shouldn't have took our language and our traditions. They stopped us from teaching our kids that native tongue. But when you deal with the business, the commerce, you have to speak the commerce language. And most people, unfortunately, like Joe said, when you're dealing in business, you have to speak. But if you want to talk to your own person or your own family on your side, it's different. But when you come in the business world, you have to speak the language of the commerce.
Hell, blacks in Tulsa was doing business. What happened to them?
I should be bilingual, though.
They were doing business
and
they were speaking English. Blacks in Tulsa were speaking English and doing business. Blacks
and
we have Ebonics. We have Ebonics and we have English.
No, that's the whole thing. If people are speaking Ebonics and speaking English properly, it's one thing. The one thing about Ebonics, which liberal professors were trying to glorify, was that here are blacks speaking improper English and then trying to make them out to sound like, oh, well, this is part of the community. But yet, the same people speaking Ebonics can't get out of the community and get a freaking job.
Well,
yes, sir.
Right, but the English language is Ebonics because you use the words sounding the same. Where and where is two different things. That's like Ebonics, the same thing. That's like saying bad is good and bad is bad.
Well, what are they doing with Tang?
It's still the same thing. So the King's language is fucked up too.
What's going on with Texan?
Hold on, wait.
And that doesn't apply just to blacks either.
Hold on.
You had a girl. You had a lady.
You have to speak the language of the business, Joe. You're right. But
hold
if you
on.
Want, like
wait
you
a
said,
minute.
Joe.
Wait a minute. All right. This is what I want to say. Now, we're talking about this, you got to speak the language of the business. So why can't the business kind of assimilate to understand what the low people are speaking so there wouldn't be no misunderstanding?
You're absolutely right, Eric. They
absolutely
do. Like
wrong.
I said before, in Flushing, New York.
Hold on,
that would be wrong.
Man, they don't tell me to hold up. Damn it.
What are you talking to? I ain't telling you to hold up.
In Flushing, New York. In Flushing, I'm talking to you, all Spice, or whatever your name, your slang is.
I ain't tell you to hold up. And if I did, I will tell you. Fuck is you talking
but bro,
about?
You
talking
never,
like
you know,
that?
You gonna make me say, you gonna make me say something I don't want to say now.
Well, don't say it then.
All right. Well, they in the green room.
Oh, now we got the agitator here.
If you want to call it that.
Okay. But here's what you're asking, Mae. Welcome to the show first. Now, what are you asking?
What is standard English? And what is talking to a businessman that sounds just like you, even if you're from the South or if you're from the North, East or West? Everybody have a different dialect. That's all it is.
That's a dialect. Standard English.
What is standard English?
Standard
what is
standard English
standard
is when
English?
You go to school and you know how to speak.
I'm asking
you. Yeah,
properly,
but they speak a different English over there in London.
And you learn grammar properly. You learn
if
the syntax. You learn the
parts
of speech.
I think he asked me to talk.
And you learn how to spell.
He asked me to talk, not you. You go up there to Appalachia, and they're talking, what kind of English is that? That's not standard either. To some
that,
people,
you,
they
got
don't
that,
understand
right.
what they're saying.
You
so
got
what are
that,
you talking
right?
about? So this is America. As long as somebody understands what you're saying and get your point across, it doesn't even matter.
Oh, so you, when you want
to
go to a job...
So you could say, you know what I'm saying? You know me? You know what I'm saying? You heard, dumb? You feel me,
you're
going to watch
this. When you go for a job with Apple or IBM, that they're going to speak your freaking language, huh?
You got to be like,
you
got to be like, yo, boss, can you hire me, son?
They might understand what I'm saying.
Yo, boss, can you hire me, son? Can you hire me, boss?
You know what? The answer to that question, Joe...
Yo, Mo, yo, you hire me. I got the best qualifications, mother.
Why you playing? You know, you're being sarcastic now. But anyway, why you playing? A lot of businesses now are looking for bilingual individuals.
Bilingual,
you know
not by Ebonics.
Why not? Ebonics can't be considered a different dialect. You have
no,
what you got?
No,
we have Arab stores in our community, and Arabs speak Ebonics. They doing business.
I'm trying to understand Piyangi, though.
What do you call English?
Wait a minute, Maze. But here's the thing I'm saying.
Your mother president. Here I
no.
is.
Oh,
Lord, Bush didn't speak that in English, so don't even come here with that.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Now, here's the thing. Why, you know, and this is what I'm saying about assimilation. You hear all this going on, and yet we are the ones that have to join the mainstream, that do what they do. When at one time, you know, we had our own. We did. We had our own. You know, and they made a way to find out, to communicate with us. But now, as far as we assimilating or being drug into the main culture or ushered in, I shouldn't say drug, we were ushered into the main culture. Now, our language is no longer needed. You know, we need to learn their English or learn their language or just be out in the cold. That's not right.
Okay.
Oh, I want to say something.
If you speak
can
another
I say
language,
something?
It's a problem in this country to other people. If you speak another language to somebody else, they got a problem with that, too. Have a problem with that. What's wrong with it? Nothing.
And they can't speak English.
Communicate.
A lot of them guys can't speak English, but they're working. You got guys in the United States military that can't even hardly speak English.
Oh, I remember one guy. This guy freaked me out. I forget where the fuck he came from. He mumbled worse than me. I couldn't understand a word this guy was saying.
your English might be different to somebody else.
Can I make my statement? The guy brought up a military, and I'm going to make my statement. He brought up the military. So I was in the service also, and we had situations, put it like that. And it came up about, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Came up about is why that person speaking that language. And this is the facts, and this is the United States of America. Because see, y'all not listening to what me and Joe are saying. He had a right, because someone's complaining about when someone tells something, they were tired of people using another language and they couldn't understand them. United States says, listen, if you give someone an order and you're talking to them, yes, you have to communicate with him. For instance, if I'm working with a Mexican and I'm giving him orders in English, he can't talk with me in Mexican. He has to talk to me in English. But if I
why
hear
not?
Him talking to
why
his brother, listen to me. Because I don't listen. Oh, my
why
goodness.
Not?
Oh,
why
you
not?
Cut me off.
You talk about the
this
military.
This is my show. I can cut you off.
No, it's not. Okay, Mr. Tall.
Okay,
it's your show, but if you cut me off, can
listen.
You please let me respond, and I'll ask
listen.
You a question.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question real fast. Why can't
okay.
you? Why does he have to respond to you in whatever language you're speaking?
Because
why
he's
you,
in the country called the.
Oh my goodness, Joe!
Why
I know Joe. Please let me get him, Joe.
Okay.
Listen. Why can't
please
you?
Let me get him, Joe.
Why can't you learn his language and be able to respond to him in his language?
Hey,
that would have been
good. When I go into the airports, I see signage in Chinese all over the place.
I'm gonna be quiet. I'll wait until I finish.
Go ahead,
some
Mike.
Some people don't speak it out. They speak
Chinese. Well, Joe, do you want me to help me out? Because I'll be quiet. I mean, do you want to answer this, Joe? Huh?
Can I ask
you said
question?
You were
going
to take over. Go ahead.
Okay, listen. The reason why I do this, the reason why he asked me a question, the reason why, remember what I said. I said, we're working on a job, and I said, someone is speaking English, and he gives another person to give him a task. And he's asking for a response back. He should give him an answer in English because that is the common language of the working. That's what the books, the manuals that they're working in is in English. But what I'm saying, you cut me off. But what I'm saying is, if I hear that other guy talk to another person around me in my building at another language, and they're communicating, I can't say, I insist you to talk another language, because no, he's communicating with another person. But if I'm there, but if we're working together and we're getting an order, because they may be talking about something about home on a weekend, two Mexicans be talking about something in another language. I can't force them to talk my language, because as long as they're not talking about the job. So it goes back to what me and Joe said. When you're dealing in business and commerce, you have to have a common language, and it goes back to your topic about segregation and desegregation. If you're going to desegregate and bring people together, they're going to have at least one common language. All these cultures, we're going to have one common language to do commerce. It's
not
total chaos.
That's not
order.
What
order.
That will never
no
happen.
Order. I'm talking
can
about
I,
business.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about
can
at home
something?
And tradition. I'm
can
talking about
something?
Commas and business, bro.
Can I tell you how you get that's mixed really up? Can I tell you how I get mixed up? It's like I'm sitting here and I got a business. Somebody's sitting in the corner saying cheering, and somebody's sitting in the corner saying children. It's, they're saying the same word, but it doesn't come out the same way.
That's
so
dialect.
That's
kind of different.
And you call that
Ebonics. All I say was to call them
Watoto. Jesus freaking Jesus.
So that's what I'm saying. You get people caught mixed up, and you got people in the same little city speaking the same language, but then they want to go work for a corporate, but they're still speaking the same language and nobody complain about it. But when they want to speak in code words, that's what we need to get an understanding to, not the dialect.
You know, over
people
in
Cobra is not once you know what they're saying, but some people understand that too.
You know, over in African countries, you had your Jesuit missionaries would take children, and if they caught them speaking their own language, they would put a dead goat's head around their neck and make them wear it. So how demonic can that be?
Yes, and it's like some people say four and some say four. We still understand what it is.
Some people say soda, some people say pop.
And some people, that's right, and that's, we still understand what they're saying.
Common sense,
and
I understand,
got nothing
doesn't
to do with
rule
it.
The day.
It's just the English teacher that taught them and didn't teach them right, that's who you should look at.
Right, an English teacher is supposed to teach them how to speak English. They're supposed
yes.
to take them from where they are and go.
So
you're not supposed
not
to
problem.
Ridicule a child because they come in into the classroom and they are speaking the language that they hear their parents speak.
Well,
no, but see, a lot
that's
of
what
kids,
the whole Ebonics issue in California was about.
See, this here, hold
this
on.
Like
see,
you
this,
got,
hold on. This is a
kids,
no hover thing.
You got other kids go home and
when
they speak
we,
a different language. And we don't understand it, but they speak a different language than they do in school.
No.
But they
got to
learn English in school, but they go home and speak the language of their country.
Listen, right, exactly, because when you go to school,
it wasn't
we
language
teach our kids for commerce to go up and trade with each other when they go to school and college. They're going to learn a job, or even if they be an entrepreneur, they're going to be having hopefully people come into their business as their customers. They come from different backgrounds, so you have to have a common language to trade people. The money is going to be common, so the language will be trade, but when you go home, you can talk any way we want. And I say again, I should be bilingual now. I should have a Western language through the history, but they stripped that. I agree with that. They should at least let us
point,
people are bilingual. That's all I wanted to say.
And we're saying what we're discussing is wrong. Ebonics had nothing to do with another language.
No, it doesn't.
Ebonics is black sounds. Phonics, sounds.
Which is language.
Ebony, black. Black sounds. It was the way the children
yes.
made their
language.
Made what they were speaking sound.
And you're just
it was
language,
not the language. It had nothing to do with the language. It was speaking
listen,
English.
Listen. What
it
is
was
language,
speaking a broken
people?
English. Just
Bianchi,
like, let me know
what
when
is
I can
language?
Speak.
Because you're wrong. You're wrong. You just contradicted yourself. When you said sounding of words,
listen,
that means
Mike,
that's the definition of language. Fool.
Listen, Mike.
What the hell are you talking about?
Listen, Mike. Ebonics was about the way black children was pronouncing, the way it was making words sound when they spoke.
Listen, when they heard that sound, fool, didn't they communicate and understand each other? Those two
brother,
people,
let me tell
it's
you
a language. It's
I got
language.
You, fool,
you know,
right here in St.
You
Louis.
Are, because
you
no, no,
here.
No, because you got on me earlier, brother. No, no, I'm no, we, no, he, no, he's deceiving us. He said Ebonics is not a language. Go ahead, fire me. He's telling a lot of us to talk.
It was about Ebonics.
Bianchi, what is language?
Ebonics
sounding the words in communication, airways, vibrations,
proper speech. Thank you. Now, you know, we didn't got off on this Ebonics and what have you. Here's the thing. Just what we're doing right now is arguing over it and not coming to the conclusion. And that's part of the big picture, y'all. That's part of the assimilation that's going on. And that's what's happening to our tradition, black traditions and culture. Because we're so busy trying to argue our point. Some say yes, some say no. Bill Cosby, John Werner, those two people that said, basically, they supported not, you know, assimilation. You know, yes, they were against Ebonics. Let's get in with the mainstream, right? Then there was two others that just was like, no. You know, no, we shouldn't.
Bill Cosby never mentioned
it. Yes, he did. But anyway,
Bill Cosby never mentioned assimilation.
Why do people complain about it?
He was trying to make sure that black people spoke English.
Listen to what I am saying.
I listen to the lecture.
Mr. Talk, but the people that
exactly.
Brother.
How they going to do business, Joe?
Mr. Talk, they going to do business like they always did business. The farmers did business by the way they talk, discuss with each other and everybody else. And why do people always have a problem with how we speak? As long as you understand and you understand our daughters, but you don't understand what comes out of our mouth. That's
well,
not
you're not listening to what he's saying and not listening to what I'm saying, which is par for the course. Nobody's saying you can't speak any fucking language you want.
Exactly.
Okay? Speak thousands of different languages.
I ask you what was wrong with it if
you
they want to.
You can speak alien, Maze, if you want to.
I
the
do.
Thing is,
that's
if you want to
both.
Be in corporate America. Or
corporate America speaks that way.
I haven't finished that either. I haven't finished my thought. Or if you want to have to speak to other people of different nationalities, there has to be a commonality.
Well,
the commonality here in America is speaking English. Nobody's
well,
saying you can't speak French, Creole.
That's the problem you are going to have, too, because if you can't
speak any of the other bullshit.
Wait a minute. Hold
if
up,
you can't
hold
speak
up,
Chinese
up.
Or either Russian, you're
hey,
going to have a problem,
hey.
Too, with your English.
Hey,
oh,
thank
oh,
you.
Okay.
Man. All right. Look, Joe, to answer your question.
Let me see something, brother.
Wait, okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Bill Cosby, and he leveled a sting of criticism against African Americans who refuse to alter their lives, behavior, and culture to fit the national culture.
There you go.
That's not true. Have you ever listened to Fat Albert?
Well, look, Pianki, and that's the main gripe people have when he came out with that. We would say because of the Cosby kids, Fat Albert, the way he had those kids portrayed, it doesn't match what he was saying here at the
time. No.
You're absolutely right.
No. On the Cosby show, his kids spoke English. They could speak any other type of whatever else they wanted.
That was a cartoon.
It was not a fucking cartoon.
y'all missing the point.
Fat Albert was
a cartoon. Fat Albert was a cartoon. Joe, what are you talking about?
Fat Albert was a book.
Oh, Lord.
All right, I'll tell you what.
Where in American society
be,
did you have
I'll
a doctor
quiet.
And a lawyer in the same household? How common was that?
What, for a doctor and a lawyer to be married?
A black lawyer and a black doctor in the same household. How common was that?
It's been the 1920s.
That was real common.
No, it was not real common. Come on now. Yeah, it wasn't as common as you seen a janitor or as common
and then
as
they
you seen
had
a,
that go after
a custodian,
or a drug
porter.
I don't like
drug
you.
Dealer
I couldn't understand why the Cosby Show was that popular. It wasn't funny.
We know you don't understand.
That's right. The show was designed for African-American people.
But I think most
to see themselves in a different light.
I
everybody didn't grow up the way Joe assumed that they were growing up. That's what the show was about, because some people live like that. It didn't take the Cosby Show for it to come on for you to know that some people live that way.
Well, that was the major good critique of it, was that it was supposed to show black people in a better light than what people thought
well,
of it.
Well, some it was not showing that because they live that way.
So well, how common was who? How
like
common was
you make
how common was
Hootenanny a new height or a new low.
Good Time was a different story. Joe loved that one, though.
What kind of language did Archie Bunker speak?
Thank
in
you.
All
no,
the
Archie
family.
Bunker was an idiot.
Chinese.
Archie Bunker was a stereotypical white idiot.
So why do you have to call him a name because of the way he was speaking?
Why did I do what according to your baseless
you?
Assumptions again?
That's why you call him that?
Wow.
Okay, he was a genius, Maze. You must have liked him.
Yes, I did. Now, is that good enough? Because that's all we had to look at. And what's the point of that?
Yes, I did.
Like the Beverly
so,
Hillbillies.
Oh, you like the Beverly
okay.
Hillbillies?
So
we
look,
had no choice. Mm-hmm.
Look, we not getting into the shows, all right? And
all
but
right.
This I do want to get into is the assimilation part of this thing. I've given examples, the Koreans, the who else come over here? The Greeks, the Indians, they all come over here and they build their neighborhoods up and they have their own business, not only in their neighborhood, but in our neighborhood.
So yeah, how many teepees you see in your neighborhood by Indians?
Say what?
How many teepees in your neighborhood done by Indians?
Well, I don't live in a lot of
teepees.
I don't. I don't live in an area where there are a lot of Indians at, Joe.
But the whole thing, see, you can be segregated and still be assimilated and still be part of a culture, or you can be integrated and not be part of a culture.
Let me tell you about, since you want to bring up the Indians, yes, they have their reservation. And believe it or not, they have their own government and everything right over
there. And their own language and everything else.
Oh. And what's your point?
And tribe.
Because they also have the greatest alcoholism and unemployment.
But they got somebody in their way that they can't even go sell land
suicide.
If they want to claim it.
They have the greatest suicides, alcoholism, and unemployment in the nation. So what is your freaking point, people?
My freaking point is they still have their own, and the U.S. government does recognize them. The military, when you have an Indian soldier in the military, they have certain traditions and rituals that include smoking some illegal stuff, and they are allowed to do that because that is their tradition. That is something that it wasn't taken away from them, never have been, and never will be. What is that noise?
We took that from them.
But and right now we can't even do nothing that we were doing back in the day. Nothing. We can't even talk the way
we can't even walk around wearing towels in this country.
And they can wear the turbans, they can wear the sharams, whatever they call them.
They can
wear the slippers. They can do everything they want to do. And
we can't even walk around with
a corporation and insist to the shareholders, the board of directors, and the owners.
Why would we want to walk around with nothing on our feet like how they do in Africa?
Yes, I'm saying the man couldn't even throw a fist sign up in the air, and he was punished for that.
No logic.
You get punished for the things that you do, Joe.
Well, if that were true, you would have had no way to speak.
Oh, Lord.
But we haven't been speaking for that. We haven't been speaking that long anyway, so now we can. I guess that's why we talk.
Wow.
That's the way I see it. So I don't have to... I don't see how somebody can come in and tell us the way we speak and what we say. They got a problem with it.
Talk. Yeah,
too bad.
That's good.
That's what I say.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they want to hear all these people want to change the way they do stuff in school in order for
change. Stay the
way
you are. Stay the way you are. Everybody.
They want to change things too. For what reason? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Joe, really,
but they
really,
still the same people that they were. They just gay.
Look, check this out.
Trying to change.
How much of our wait a minute, I don't know what that noise is, but again...
That's Derek. He's a new call. He's brought in his...
No, I don't think that was him. But anyway...
He need a new battery smoke detector.
Yeah. But this is what I was going to say. You know, it's so bad within our own community is we don't even get taught our own history in supposedly public schools or, you know, unless you go to a specific school where that is in the curriculum, you don't get taught that. But
nope.
You get talk about you get taught about the Alamo and what else they got going on,
which they will be
you
taking
know,
it back.
Yeah, the Alamo and things like that. You know, I asked my child one day, "Have you? What about Malcolm X?" I asked him about Malcolm X. He said, "Who?" I said, "Oh Lord, have mercy." You know, but I said,
well,
"I said, what about the Alamo?" And he told me all about the Alamo. See, so. You think we're not losing out on our tradition and our teachings?
Well, people
I'll tell you something.
People can buy books.
No, they don't buy books. You don't. You know, I'm gonna tell you something, Joe. I've seen cases where Malefi Asante, who's a a professor at Temple University, wrote a African American history book. Okay. Excellent book. I've got copies of it. But he had a picture on the front of it of Malcolm X along with Marcus Garvey and Martin Luther King, some other. Well, People's Publishing Company said they will not publish the book if Malcolm X's picture is on the front of it. Now, here's the point. He said that some people won't buy it. Why does this white company want to tell black authors what pictures they must have on the covers of books that they authored?
Because they're trying to have a profit. If they think
no, that's what you call forced assimilation.
Okay,
I can give you many other examples of forced assimilation.
It has nothing to do with assimilation. Malcolm X on the cover of a book, Bianchi. It has nothing to do with assimilation. It has to do with the selling of the book.
No, it doesn't, because of the selling of the book.
So in other words, the publisher has no interest whatsoever in the selling of the book. It's all about assimilation to him.
You know, Maya Angelou's poem, a book, Why the Caged Bird Sing, was on the banned list.
Mm-hmm.
I can name
Which
you many other
sense.
Black
and
Arthur books that was on the banned list.
Literature. So?
They don't study that in the school.
So,
system.
And I
they
said,
won't put it
book.
In the school
hey, you know what?
They won't put it
you
in the
book. Everybody who's
the book should
German,
be in
English,
the public
Irish,
school.
Italian,
they
and Polish to have the same attitudes and say, look, my children are going to the same school where in a classroom full of 30 kids, you got six Poles, six Irish, six Italian, six blacks. I want all of our cultures taught and given the exact same
That's
time,
right, and it would be
the same as everybody else. Does that make
and
sense?
They would understand each other and would sit back and look at each other like they were crazy. That's what it would do.
That's why Mario Cuomo, the mayor of New York, created Italian-centered public schools because he said that Italian children was not maintaining their culture when they go to public schools. But when black folks try to do that, oh, no.
Well, I don't know about any hailstorm about that, but blacks should have the right to go to their
More
own
than hailstorm. It was a hurricane. And it
okay.
still continued to go on, like I gave example in the chat room about it, the African Center school called Pomoja in St. Louis. Somebody's background is killing me, man.
People should, oh, another thing I know in my research, too. Maya, as far as I'm concerned, Maya, Marva Collins is probably the best educator that America has ever known. She has shown
Marva Collins School is closed.
She would.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think
Barbara
Collins
I'm having a conversation.
Please put yourself on mute.
God damn, what's that in the background?
Somebody having a conversation on
yeah.
the TV is playing.
I think I found it.
Oh,
go ahead.
Well, Marva Collins is probably the best educator that the country's ever known.
No, that's not true. That you know is not the best educator that the country ever known.
Ever
How you gonna say that?
Because
yeah. Come on now.
Kids who were considered
Elijah Muhammad was.
Who?
Elijah Muhammad.
And his brother is absolutely right. You got
about
you have Nation of Islam schools in all over the country, really, but you have one in Los Angeles that's superb.
Okay, fine. Forget what I said.
All right. Oh, Lord. Hold on. Let me bring somebody else in. All right, 661, welcome to the show.
Peace to you, brother. And, it's a good subject that we're having tonight. And I would say, you know, the anger that we, the black man,
what the hell?
Especially,
about the power. Wait a minute, he's talking from the UK.
Too much background noise going on.
It has been the integration has been the worst.
Power, supreme.
What's wrong with your phone?
I'm just fucking with you. What's up? How you doing, man?
All right,
I ain't hear your voice in a while.
All right, hold up, y'all. Go ahead, Supreme. Something going on with your phone? Can you get a better connection? You kind of got an echo going on here, and a lot of background noise.
Echo my mic.
Call what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we heard you. What'd you say?
Well, I was just saying.
He's got his computer or his radio on.
Echoing in my background. You should have did a lot of echoing in my background. Don't know if it's cleared up yet.
What the hell?
You might have to call back in on a landline, pal.
Yeah.
Join the fun. We're having a good fun discussion today.
Do you speak proper English?
He speaks broken English.
What language?
Wait a minute. Can he talk?
You heard me speak. You heard me just say something, right? Can you hear my is my mic coming to you too?
Derek, what's you laughing about?
I don't know. Supreme, you got this echo going on. You got this real bad echo. Are you close to a radio or something?
You can listen to yourself later.
Okay,
so tell him, Mr. Top.
All right, yeah, now you seem like you're breathing too hard into the mic. Come on, get.
Can you hear me now, brother? Come on, phone, yeah, okay. Is it okay now?
You still got the echo, but you're better. But you still got the echo.
You know what? I'm gonna just still something. Wait.
Can you call back in power?
Yeah, can you hear me now, though?
Sound like the freaking commercial.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Go ahead, pal. So this is the problem with assimilation. This is what somebody said.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to make a comment about the title, though, Mr. Talk, about segregation and desegregation, and it goes to this multiculturalism, too, and it really goes back to
Michael,
the language
Michael,
and all.
Michael, hold up. Wait a minute. Now, see, I know you weren't here at the beginning of the show, so let me explain this to you. All week, we're going to be talking about desegregation, but I want to talk about it in pieces, okay? Until Friday,
okay.
We're going to put the whole thing together. All right.
Oh, okay.
So, all
okay, so what piece you want to talk about?
Today
okay,
today we were talking about assimilation and Black Wall Street. Those are the two parts we want to talk about today. Okay.
All right. Let's make this real simple. Black Wall Street and Rosewood and Greenwood were all atrocities. Same thing as what happened in Philadelphia when they were bombed out by the cops. Atrocities shouldn't have happened by white people perpetrating. Their jealousy, actually, upon black people. That doesn't have anything to do with the fact that assimilation is good for the country and for those who assimilate, and you can assimilate without having to give up your native culture. It's as simple as that. But I'm sure people are going to say, no. Anybody else can speak.
Well, Black Wall Street, they was assimilating with each other, doing business with each other, and people all around the world until the day came that they destroyed them. And that's when the culture was destroyed and all the people, too.
And what did I say?
Have been the same since.
May's
nothing.
I didn't say May's nothing. I said, what did I say?
Excuse me?
No,
you didn't say nothing
about
the culture. You didn't say nothing about this. You said assimilating. They were assimilating business.
Oh, geez.
So was the black farmers and everybody else until their crops were destroyed and taken away from them. That's what happened to the assimilation.
Okay.
So they don't have it anymore.
That's good.
If they still had it, they'll still be assimilated.
That's right.
They wouldn't have had to get nothing from nobody because they had their own wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that they needed was in.
That's right.
But they could still go outside and do business with other people.
That's
but then
right.
Everything was destroyed and they couldn't do anything else.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Maze. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, it's assimilation coming together. Assimilation has to be. Well, you don't want to assemble. I mean, it's a delusion when we think that humans and all cultures are not going to be together. Just look at all of our history books. Mankind will always mingle. When you put and say we're not going to assimilate and we're going to put that line between us, which is in actuality, there is no lines in this world. It's in the, men make them up. It will always be crossed. See, all cultures and traditions affect each other. That's what we need. And every time we don't want to divide, like I say, when I open up a business, I'm not going to only serve to black people. I want to serve to, I hope the whole world buy my product. So I want to assimilate with everybody.
But everybody
I want no lines because if I do that, I put myself in a box. I limit myself. I can't grow. No, I can't grow. If I say I'm only going to serve to black people and have
no,
a black
no, no, no. Let me. Can I explain?
Only serving the black people.
No,
and I'm
wait,
not
Maze.
Going to.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not going to, especially in America. Let's just use America. I'm crazy. I'm starting confusion. I'm actually starting confusion.
Because all of us, even because our Congress, our Constitution is made up with different people. Different people come together from different communities, just like the House of Delegates, and make decisions together. So it's even over in the Middle East, all of them affect each other. Even in ancient times, look at your history books. Even when you trade with another country, you're still really assimilating with them because you need that other culture to produce something and make your life better. So not assimilating, desegregation is proper. Segregating us is an illusion, and it causes war, and we'll never be able to have peace.
Now, can
because
I say,
that line will always be crossed. It will always be
war. How can we have assimilation? We don't even have the same rights that everybody else got to vote. We
right.
have
right. Thank you, man.
Now you're going to a whole other story now.
So that's what I'm trying to say. So we can't assimilate nowhere because we don't still don't
that's
have
another
the
show,
rights.
Mace.
When we get that,
that's
then we might think about assimilate. So that's why you need to do what you need to do.
And there are businesses who direct their merchandise to certain specific ethnic groups. It was a business out on the East Coast that sold nothing but to black folks, Jerry's or something. I can't think of the name of it. And they've done very – as a matter of fact, it's a Lebanese store at the store. Done very
right.
well. Made them a
multi-million.
But
they
only
limit themselves,
though.
What
was the name of it?
Jordan. Michael Jordan sneakers?
Yeah.
Only
there's a Lebanese store called Jerry and something out on the East Coast that was – selling specifically
like
patronizing to black folks.
Right, and look, and there's no problem with that, but they're limited. So I never said there's nothing wrong with that because I can't tell nobody how to live. You're going to do that, but I'm just saying me personally. If I have a product, me personally, or something, it's going to be for everybody, me personally, and I want to make a lot of money. I'm not going to limit myself.
Jews do it with kosher food all the time.
They do it to each other because they have their own food, too.
Well, you know what, and Mike, you say you want to limit. You don't have to limit yourself because you, the establishment is going to limit to how much you're going to be able to sell and get out. It's easy.
How?
Especially
what are you talking
because
about?
you're only going to be able to sell. No matter what you do, you're only going to be able to sell to a certain group that's going to support you.
No, no. First of all,
there's
so many businesses you can go to. I can have an IT business. Everybody going to use my IT. It's not. See, IT is universal. Everybody's going to use it. If it works, it works. If it makes sense, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
the business, though.
I just used that as an example.
Reginald Lewis.
That's
you remember all. Reginald Lewis that started Beatrice Foods?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Reginald Lewis. He comes from Baltimore. He comes from Baltimore.
Reginald Lewis done his transaction over the telephone. He had a show up with blackface. It never would have went.
I read his book. He comes from Baltimore. He grew up right down the street from me.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thank
and
you.
What kind
of fit
did they have when Dennis? What kind of fit did they have when Dennis Rodman went over to another country and had a good time?
I'm trying to get what Mr. Top's point is. Hold on. Wait a minute. My point is this. You can have the greatest plans, whatever, but if the establishment don't want you to do anything, you're not going to do it because you're not a part of it.
So listen to me. You're telling me. You're telling me, your kids and my kids, tell them the same thing, and you're going to tell them, don't drink, don't go for business to yourself. Pionki is not saying that. When I hear Pionki to have a business, it's the opposite of what you're saying. If I go in and saying these people are going to stop me, what the fuck am I going in the business for? I got to hang up, man, because,
point.
Yo, you topped it right
now. Why are you going in business with them when you need to get with your brothers and sisters and y'all go together and you make you stronger? Oh, well, he's gone. All right. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And I told you, this week, we're going to have some fun this week because we're going to get it all out there. I'm Supreme, go ahead.
Yes, brother. Yes, brother. You can hear me now, yeah?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, you know, Marcus and Manny ain't got no sense anyway. And, you know, these are the type of Negroes that are holding us, stopping us from doing this. And separating from this beast. That's in control of this planet right now. Now, a lot of the ills that especially our people are going through in wherever the white and the black dynamic exists, it's all because of integration. We need to segregate. especially in 2013. Everything that is going bad wrong for the black man, or the so-called Negro, is a result of integration. We need to see it by ourselves. You understand? That's why other races are successful in their own country most of the time, because they don't deal with no integration. Plus, they're in control of their country.
Okay, hold on for a minute. I'm finna call you Pianki, Supreme. Okay, right now we just talking about assimilation. You know, being forced into the big scheme or the big salad bowl, and you know, Black Wall Street. So, what you got to say on that?
Well,
you know, we haven't got this.
Like I said to you, brother, the biggest reason why folks in Oklahoma and Black Wall Street was so, was so profitable, achieved such great things, is because they were segregated. You understand? They were doing for self. You know, when they were waking up in the morning, they were getting up and they were working for their community, their people around them. They weren't building up no one else's institution or no one else's government. You understand? You were doing for yourself. It's like you get more joy out of working for yourself than working for another man, even though you might be earning more money from the other man. But when you're working for the other man, he's giving you a strength. But when you're working for yourself, go to work when you want, you can come home when you want. You understand? Everything's coming into you. You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah, and you know that you're doing it to feed your family. See what I'm trying to say? But when you're working with another man, you don't have that security. And that's the problem. A lot of Negroes, they've done well in their time. They had a big job, did well, excelled in the devil's world, in the devil's food system. They did well, educated niggas, right? But then there was nothing for their children. Now the devil's saying to us, he really told us that he ain't got no more work for us. The Negroes, like Michael, still want to beg the devil for things. You see what I'm trying to say? And you know, the society that we're living in today, this welfare society, is making us, you know, it's destroying our whole dynamic in our relationship as well. Because most of these sisters don't need the black man, because she can go and get money from her master, the devil. He's going to give her benefits and everything. She don't need the black man so much, because if worse comes to worse, she can get fed. The devil's going to pay for everything. See what I'm trying to say? And that's just destroying our whole dynamic. Everything. But this is what happened in this system. This is what happened. This is everything that's going wrong for us in 2013. It's a result. Even that Trayvon, that wouldn't have happened if he were living amongst ourselves.
You know, Eric, one of the most demonic things I've seen, and it's one of them, not the only one, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, blacks wanted to have African-centered schools. Okay. The white-controlled school district said that the percentage of black teachers in any school in the black community can be no more than their percentage is in the whole state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
So you can have a school building in a black community that's 100% black. They say, well, the number of white teachers the number of black teachers can be no more than their representative in the state. If they 8% of the state, only 8 out of 100 teachers can be black. Now, that's what I'm talking about, Joe.
And I would like to hear what Joe's got to say on that. Because, Joe, you know, I would like to... What do you think? Do you think that your people are right at that time to stop blacks from having their own schools? I want to hear what you've got to say.
And if somebody don't believe that, about just get a book.
About done by your people.
Get a book called Not Yet Free at Last by Michael Holt. MIKELHOLT. Not Yet Free at Last. It talks about charter schools in Milwaukee School District.
Hold on. Let me see. Bring somebody else in. All right. 678. Welcome to the show, Mr. Knowledge. How are you doing today?
Good. How is everybody else doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Really glad to hear that. what I found interesting about this conversation is that it's very indicative of the state of black people today. And when you're talking about Black Wall Street and you were talking about assimilation, either vis-a-vis or versus desegregation, I think the very first caller that called up at the beginning of your show mm-hmm. was talking about how he had taken a sociology class. And one of the things that I've noticed, just being able to see how things change from decade to decade to decade, is that black people have basically given up on community. Mm. From a sociological aspect, that's where it all starts. And when you start mm-hmm. bringing up the Italians, the Chinese, the Polish, et cetera, et cetera, one of the things that they don't compromise is community, because the community is the foundation for everything that you want to do outside of it. If you don't have that that communal foundation, then everything that you do outside of it is going to be basically a survival of the fittest. And if history hasn't taught us anything, it has taught us that we don't all have the same constitution. Some of us are going to get it by any means necessary. Some of us are going to try to assimilate. Some of us are going to try to follow the program, go to school, get a degree, do this. Parents taught you, okay, you need to get a trade if you're not going to go to college. So we become very fractured in that regard. And that's the biggest difference that I see, because I had the advantage of growing up and being next to the Chinese community. I had the advantage of being 13 years old and being befriended by a family that was from Yemen. That, you know, when I was in grade school in San Francisco, we used to have to go on field trips to the Japanese tea garden. So we always got exposed to other cultures. And the one thing that they all had in common that black people have lost, because I grew up where the black community in the 60s and early 70s, man, the black community was tight-knit. It was a tight-knit group. Now, there was a lot of stuff going on, and it was a lot of social issues that were being discussed and was starting to almost divide people, but it was bringing people together at the same time. Mm-hmm. That they were trying to divide people. But once that wave was out the way, man, the black community just, they just scattered like roaches. It was like, okay, it's every man for himself. Let's do what we got to do. Yes,
man. Well, what happened? I mean, how many communities did you know was destroyed?
Okay, wait a minute.
By fire and all of this. If you keep doing it and you keep, how many times was it done? Eventually,
you mean in terms of you mean in terms of the black community?
Mm-hmm. I mean, who else?
Oh, it was done a lot.
So eventually, you just get tired. Maybe that's what happens.
Yeah, you're right. You get tired, Maze.
And I'm not saying that that's not legitimate. I'm just saying from a fundamental level.
They take on animosity. But into, let
right.
me ask you something.
Wait, wait, I know. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold
I'm
on.
Getting ready
I,
to go.
I'm
let me ask this question.
No. Hold on. Because Derek been trying to ask him a question for a minute now. Go ahead, Derek.
I don't want to ask a question as well, brother.
Well,
okay. No, I wasn't trying to ask nothing.
Oh, you wasn't? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Let me ask this question.
Let
me ask this question real quick. How can a black person who have a PhD in philosophy say that they're well educated when they never did study, even read Elijah Muhammad, and they never have read
right.
Marcus Garvey's philosophy and opinions?
Right.
Now,
and I can,
right.
it's not
that's
even offered in those classes. The same way
right.
in your physics books. In your physics
right.
books today, it never mentions the 13 black scientists that made the Manhattan Project happen.
Nope.
Right.
That's how I'm talking about black children
and
miseducated, even when they do go get an education.
And it's,
right.
important
you
for,
later.
It's important for assimilation to know that those people did that in order for you to be doing some of the things you do today off of their backs. But they don't get no credit because they won't put them in the
right.
room. And then they have to fight the little pieces in there that's not true, or half of a truth.
And it goes back to the curriculum we were talking about, different curriculums, and we needed to get it straight. But I want to ask NTK something, and then it goes on to the topic. I remember, because I listened to you very well, you may not think I do, but you said, asked a question about teaching in an all-white school, and you were concerned that if you would make that move, it may seem bad about, you know, some people in your community of doing that. I mean, can you share that with us? Because I think that runs, because I've heard you spoke that before, and it stands about the same concerns that we're talking about today, about people making their choices, of having that struggle whether or not I make this move because I'm quote-unquote a skin color or not, or is this the best move for me?
For me, when I was in college and I was faced with the decision because I was motivated by a black man in terms of math and science, who got his degree at the University of Chicago and got his PhD at UC Berkeley, he was the one that was a real motivator for me to go into math and science, which is what I went into. However, all the opportunities that I was given in terms of pursuing that career were in white schools. However, coming from the black community, I knew they didn't need my help. And that was the difference for me. They were not the people that needed my help. Now, going back to, and I'm just going to tie this together to what Pianki was saying in terms of, you know, how you can go to college and get a PhD, that all depends on what your idea of an education is. Because I've said this before, when you're being educated or when you're being mandated by the government to go to school, you're being programmed. That doesn't mean you're being educated. Hmm. Now, when he was talking about the 13 mathematicians that were on the Manhattan Project, things of that nature, see, that's education, and I'm fully aware of that. So I took it upon myself, and due to the fact that I had somebody that was an inspiration to me, yeah, I got that information. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to give that information to the black kids and the Hispanic kids, just like when I worked at Havens Court Junior High School in Oakland, California, 66th Avenue, which is on Seminary, which is right across the street from the projects. I'm in a classroom with a black math teacher who's teaching math at 6 period, 2:30 in the afternoon, in a woodshop class. He's got kids sitting on benches. And they're ninth graders, and they're all in remedial math. And he's asking me, how come this is not working? I said, number one, you shouldn't be teaching math after 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Because if you understand people's attention span, something like math, something like science, that's something that should be taught early in the day when your level of awareness is at its highest. You don't want to be teaching kids when it's the last period of the day and they come to class and they're thinking about going home. Now, not to get off on that, but that's the reason why I didn't take the money and run with it and go into the white schools, because they were going to have it either way, whether I was there or not. They were going to have it. But the kids that I wanted to be with were getting nothing. So that's where my focus was. And then I saw how the school system was shifting. The political correctness came in the early 90s. They started changing the whole, like you like to say, all facts. They started changing the curriculum. They started doing everything different. And I knew I was just going to run into a whole bunch of problems dealing with the institution, the establishment. And I just didn't have the time or the patience for that. So I let them alone.
Amen. I agree.
So would you teach into an all-white school?
I mean, that's not something that I would have a problem with. That's not where I'm needed. You have to understand.
Right, but
education,
sociological.
Let me finish real quick.
Okay.
Education, from a sociological standpoint, is directly related to income per capita. If you live in a neighborhood where the average income is $100,000 or more, your school system is going to be top flight. if you live in an area where people are making $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, hey, they got to do, the parents got to get involved. You got to make sure there's enough books to go around. People got to start digging in their pockets, so they got pencils, they got paper, they got, you got to pay for field trips. You got to do all this stuff. When you're in more affluent areas, you don't have to worry about any of that. It's all paid for by the tax dollar. That's your tax base.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation before. About
exactly.
You know, yeah, we've had this conversation before. All right. I'm sorry. Supreme, you had a question?
Yeah, I wanted to say something, brother. Now,
okay, go ahead.
This is the thing, though. Now, you know, the bubble was made. See, the thing is, we can't be comparing. My problem is, I don't like to hear Negroes and, you know, people in general just trying to put our situation up against, you know, the Jew situation, how they got out, how the Italians got out. Because at the end of the day, they never had no force, an empire, a power, yeah, trying to put out programming in such a supreme way, in such a hardcore manner, whereby to manipulate our any growth, even in an integrated society, you know, or in a separate society. They're trying to affect us with the food in our mind. And like the brother just said as well, it's not good to teach kids before 12 o'clock because it's better to teach them that in the morning because they have better attention. You see what I'm trying to say? So the devil knows what they do. When I was younger, I don't remember ever having a math class. Math classes were always later on in the day. So that must have been a very, you know, it's something that I've seen a lot, and the devil's doing it every day. The devil knows that. The devil knows that. So I'm trying to say to you, brother, we can't keep on mixing up our shit with other people. We just got to separate.
I wasn't saying that we should mix it. I was giving you examples of how it works and how it doesn't work. That's all.
Yeah, okay. And you got to remember as well, if the United States, the UK, were to just go out there killing on Japanese people or police brutality and that, how do you think that the Japanese people, the people back in their homeland, are going to start treating the devil? You see what I'm trying to say? So they've got something behind them. You see what I'm saying? They've got their army. The devil goes over there on holiday. Now, if the devil was just wholesaling, killing Jamaicans in America, ain't nothing going to happen to white folks in Jamaica. Nothing. They're going to get to spend their money and have sex with the women as much as they want. Ain't no one going to even flick their ass, you know? And that's why I said, at this time, we need to go as the minimum of the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. Because at the end of the day, he's the only one who was actually done this work. And lived very well for many years, integrating within the system. Negroes, you don't want to be a part of it, leave them. Let them live in the devil's world. You understand? You know?
Uh-huh.
Had his schools, butchers, everything. Go on, brother.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Supreme. You know, interesting. Okay. Let's see. Anyone else? Maeve, you got anything you want to say?
I'm just listening now.
Oh, okay.
But I do want to add this, though, Mr. Talk, is that people have to understand that in educational systems, I'm not talking about just in general, specifically, in educational system, if I run an educational system and I can design the curriculum, by the time that you come out of my educational system, I know exactly how you're going to think. I know what stimuli you're going to react to. I know how you're going to react to whatever stimuli that I give you in the general public. Hence, you become very predictable for me.
Oh.
If I'm educating you in a certain way. Now, if I'm being altruistic, meaning that I'm educating you because I understand your brain power and how it can flower into something beyond me that nobody could have seen happen, then I'm just, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you all the tools that are necessary in order to create a natural curiosity in you if you don't already have it, so that you go out and you apply these tools and these tricks of the trade, and then the world becomes your footstool, and you can achieve and you can do whatever you want to do. But we have to understand that is not the educational system that we have in this country. The educational system that we have is designed for indoctrination. It's designed for assimilation. That's why a black person with a PhD can have a doctorate, feel that they're educated, and be lacking in so much other information. Because you can even tell that person, well, there's so much you don't know. But what they're going to fall back in on is the fact that, hey, I have a doctorate. What do you have? You see what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
I like the way this brother speaks. He speaks proper. He speaks proper. This brother speaks proper. A good manner as well.
All right, John.
Well, I can switch it up for you, Supreme, and, you know, we can go a whole other direction, but that's for another show.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that.
Thank you. That's what I'm show. All right, y'all. Hey, I got two meetings I got to get to tonight, so we're going to have to cut it short today. But it was a good show. I think it was a good show, and I thank for it. I want to say I thank all y'all for participating. Like I mentioned before at the beginning of the show, we're going to be talking about this thing all week. And tomorrow we're going to concentrate on civil rights in black communities, you know, leading up to the main question. So, hey, y'all say get ready, man, because we're going to be doing this thing this week. We really are.
Yeah, that ought to be a barn burner tomorrow.
Maybe Joe will learn something that he don't know.
Yo, it makes Joe feel out of place. I feel you, Joe.
Make him feel out of place. It's you be having to educate yourself.
All right, look.
Make my last comment.
Yes, we're going to go ahead and let y'all get your last words in. And we're going to start with the new caller. I haven't heard him, had him on the show before. So we're going to show Mr. Derek X some love.
Thank you. I'm getting the Grammy.
And, so go ahead and give your last words for the day, sir.
Man, this was a great show. I learned a lot today. And that's basically what I was trying to do was, you know, share any little bit of information that I have and also learn.
Okay, well, that's what we trying to do here: educate, learn, have some fun, and all of in the same breath.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Well, you're welcome to come back anytime. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah, you might
all
even
right.
find that Eric comes back every once in a while. Too.
Oh, what else? Whatever, Joe. All right, Supreme, you up?
Yes, brother. This is a beautiful subject today. I wish I was there. Michael's better, but tomorrow we'll have another one, and hopefully we can get to see what Negroes want to stay in this integrated society. Because we should only move with the ones who want to separate. So this is a great subject, and we'll know who's who. You understand? We'll know who's who. And I'm saying that any Negro that wants to integrate and is okay with this society the way it is, and they just want to see America just, you know, getting a few more years to pay back the money. Anyone who wants this devil war to keep on going, especially in our race, is a threat to our people moving forward. You understand? So it's a good subject so we can weed niggas out. You see what I'm saying, brother, Mr. Talk. So I'll be back tomorrow, brother.
All right. Hopefully you work on that connection now, okay?
Oh, God.
All right, Supreme. Have a good one. All right, Maze, you've been quiet for a moment, so it's your turn.
Oh, yes. I say education is the best thing that people need when they think they know all and don't know none of the history of the Negro. And once they learn some things that we say, we'll understand better and maybe we'll do better in order to reach it out and hand it out and see why they're in the state that they're in and don't be complaining about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. That was short and sweet. Oh, all right, Mike, you up.
Well, what a great show. Well, first of all, N2K, you ran from my question. You never answered my question about whether or not you were going to work at an all-white school, because the reason why I brought it up, because you shared it with the world. I heard you, and it went with our topic so other. But you ran, but I'll get you again. You know we'll talk again. Another
of
thing,
course.
Guys, Pionki.
Of course.
Pionki, I want to let you know, Pionki, about language. When two people communicate and they're having sound in the world, whether you understand it or I not understand it, if those two people can understand each other, it's language, vibrations of soundings of words. That's what it means. As long as they get a clear picture and understand each other, it's a language. Now, segregation, guys, this is a great topic, but anytime we segregate, we're going to have war. You can't, since you have segregation in your mind, it's a distortion and it's not the way we should go. And I just want to say, education is limited. More education, we have to grow one standard curriculum. But when you educate, what are you educating on? Is it all facts, or is it a theory that's going to cause chaos and confusion? So you guys have a nice day, and good topic, Mr. Talk. And thanks for having me, too. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thank God.
All right, go ahead, and I'll let you up.
That guy. Just to address all facts, I don't run from, I run to, just to clarify that. Great topic as always. And at the end of the day, you know, when we're talking about the whole Wall Street and the communal effort that black people have displayed in this country, and for whatever reason, others have come in and destroyed it. That means that we just have to get on the grind a little bit more. And I know, as Mays alluded to and Pionki endorsed, that you get tired and it just, you know, it just gets to be a lot. However, look at the flip side of that coin. I mean, I'd rather get tired and keep trying than be where we are today. That's the difference. To where we're completely fractured is every man or woman for themselves, and then everybody starts coming up with alternative plans. So at the end of the day, we just, you know, we have to stop being tired and realize that, you know, if there's an old saying, I think Jim Valvano said it, the coach of North Carolina State, when they won a national championship and he found out he was dying of cancer. He said, never give up. Don't ever give up. Because once you do that, it's a wrap. You might as well just call it a day. And that's all I got to say.
All right, sir. All right, thank you. I like that. Whew, okay, see you tomorrow, Leg. We're going to have some more good stuff for you. All right, Joe, you're the last one standing.
All right, here's something for tomorrow. Arguably, the civil rights movement turned out to be one of the worst things that happened to American blacks. So that's a nice thing to ponder till tomorrow.
Okay, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. All right, sir. Well, thank you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. See you.
All right, y'all, another great show here. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, we're going to laugh, but we're going to try and educate as well as discuss and inform on things that we need to know. You know, it's good to get on here and argue about certain things, but sometimes we have to take the time to educate our people. You know, like everybody know about the Black Wall Street on Tulsa, Oklahoma, but how many of you knew about the one in Durham, North Carolina? That was basically banks and businesses. It didn't have anything to do with oil. You know, and both W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington gave both those the name of Black Wall Street. Of course, Tulsa, Oklahoma was also called Magic City, you know, because it popped up out of nowhere. You know, home of the oil. You know, Dreamland, I think it was. It's just different names. You know, but City of Dreams, I'm sorry, yeah. Little Africa, no, just some of the names they were given. You know, at one time, 100,000 people in that one little city. Wow, that was a lot. But, you know, and as far as assimilation, you know, a lot of people, as we found out today, you know, well, we need to do that. Not really. Not really. I don't think we really need to do it a whole lot. You know, I think we get so happy about somebody asking us to join them. We never take time to stop and look at the real big picture or the real picture of what we're about to get into until we're in it and it's way too late to get up out of it. Just some food for thought. All right. Food for thought. All right, y'all. Tomorrow's show, same thing, desegregation. Did we make the wrong move? So we're going to be talking about the civil rights and black communities. You know, as I say, we're leading up to the big show Friday where we're going to sit down and really decide, was it the right or wrong move? Okay? All right. Well, I think I about ran out of talking now. My brother's hard. All right. So anyway, remember, keep smiling. Show appreciation and forgive with open heart. But make sure you're forgiving yourself before you can forgive anyone else. All right? Till tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific time. And if anybody know where Goofy Bone is, tell him he need to contact me, all right? I've been looking for him. It's not like Goofy be gone so long. Make me wonder. But anyway. All right, y'all, until tomorrow, y'all have a good one. We're going to go out of here with the Isley Brothers, Fight the Power. And I'll see y'all tomorrow. Y'all be good. I'm out.